First, I'd like to say, bring the love and greetings of the Lamb Pastors Ecclesia. And know that more would like to attend, but due to various circumstances, they weren't here. So they send their love and greetings to each and every one of us this morning here at this gathering. When I first got the assignment from Brother Philip to do Daniel chapter 6, the title of being Daniel in the Den of Lions, I kind of thought to myself, I said, I got to have a little exhortation for the young people, for you guys, to take home with you, to kind of, you know, keep in your minds as you live every day to, you know, to serve the Master, our Lord Jesus Christ, and to please God in every way you can. So, anyways, I looked at the chapter again, and I realize that there's a lot of things that we can gather from Daniel chapter 6, what we read in our hearing this morning. And just go over a few of those things. I'm not going to bore you guys, okay? I'm going to try to make it I hate to say entertaining, because I'm not really entertaining. I'm trying to convey a message to you, but in a kind of a light way. Anyways, Daniel chapter 6 opens with the it said in verse 1 of chapter 6 of Daniel, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes. And that is similar to what would in America, I don't know what the British, I guess I should know what the British, the British system of government is, but in America they basically set up congressmen or senators. So this is kind of like what would be like the president as would set up senators and congressmen in different areas of his kingdom or of his land. And chapter 6 and verse 1 opens that he sets up and the three princes of whom Daniel was first. Now remember, we studied Daniel this week, and Daniel was one of the prophets. He foretold what would happen in the latter days, and this is what we've been studying with the image. I think you guys did the image Friday or yesterday. You guys looked at the image of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2, and you see that foretells what's going to happen to the kingdoms of men, what Yahweh's plan is or what God's plan is with the kingdoms of men. If any of you don't know what Yahweh is the proper name for God, and it means He who shall be. So when we say Yahweh, it means He who shall be. He who shall be revealed in the latter days. So anyway, Daniel was preferred over all the princes and the presidents. And you know that sometimes in our natural mind, in our natural thinking, we kind of when we see somebody else get a higher position than we do, it kind of makes us angry, doesn't it? It makes us angry, right? It makes us kind of jealous. Like, I wanted to do that. I wanted to be the chief guy, you know? So anyways, because of the way Daniel is, and I think that's an example for you guys and for us as well, that the way you live and the way you carry yourself, people respect you. If you carry yourself in a respectable way, people will respect you. And they will entrust more things to you. They will entrust more duties to you because they see a sense of responsibility, a sense of maturity, and they see a sense of spirituality with you. So when you carry yourself like that, people will more trust you with doing certain duties. Okay? So anyway, Darius gives Daniel in charge of all these presidents, or what we can say, all these senators and congressmen. So it makes them kind of jealous. And that's something we should not be. We should not be jealous of somebody else. We should not be jealous of our friends because they have a PlayStation or because they have a Game Boy and we don't. Or they have a family has a nicer car than my family, than their family does. We should not be jealous of those things. All right, because everything is given to us as a gift from God. So if one family gets something and your family doesn't have as nice as the other family, you shouldn't be jealous of it. Anyways, so these guys, you know, the princes, establish a way to to try to get rid of Daniel, to get him out of the picture. You know, he's got this big position. We want to just get rid of him. So they went to the king and they tried to establish a decree and sign the writing. Verse 6. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alter it not. Actually, verse 7, where it says, and all the presidents of the kingdom and governors and princes, the counselors and the captains have counseled together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king. These are the senators going to Darius to try to establish this rule to get rid of Daniel. He shall be cast into a den of lions. So they go to the king, they make this decree, and then the king, you know, he kind of didn't really want to do it, so he said, oh, okay. You know, because they came to him and they try to boost his ego, as we'd say in the modern term. Try to feed on his ego. O king, live forever, is what they came to him with. So anyway, he signs the decree. And when Daniel saw the decree that was signed, because he wasn't involved. Daniel was not involved. They didn't come to him and say, hey, Daniel, let's go to the king and make this decree. No, they did it because they want to get rid of Daniel. So they did it behind his back. But what did Daniel do? He didn't get angry. He didn't go after the presidents. He didn't do anything. He did what every God-fearing person should do. And that is, he went into his house, verse 10. He went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, the great city, he kneeled upon his knees, and he prayed and gave thanks to God. And that's a very, very important lesson for each and every one of us, young people and old. When we come up on adversities, get on your knees, pray, thank God, thank Yahweh for your blessings, as he did four times. And he said he did it 3 times a day. Now, a couple of days ago, we had in the readings of Leviticus, it is commanded that the children of Israel should beat olive oil to make oil for the light, the lamp in the tabernacle, continually. So there's a kind of a similarity there. You have the children of Israel are commanded to keep the lamp burning continually as a reverence to Yahweh. And here, Daniel, in his way, shows that same reverence to Yahweh by going on his knees 3 times a day to pray to Yahweh and to give thanks in spite of what was going on around him, because in spite of the conspiracy that was about to come upon him. Then it says that the men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before Yahweh. And then they called the king because their mind was not in the right place. They were jealous. They wanted a position. Okay, so this is an exhortation to us. And it says, and every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions. And the king answered and said, this is true. According to the law, it is true. It was written in stone. As we say in the modern term, it was written in stone. Okay, so they couldn't. But Daniel and Darius was trying to appeal it because he liked Daniel. He knew Daniel was a righteous man. And it also brings us to point to another righteous person that walked the earth. It's Jesus Christ. The same thing happened. They tried to find fault with him. They couldn't find fault with him because he was righteous. But they still wanted to get rid of him. So when the king heard these words, verse 14, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Now, labored till the going down of the sun in that context, or in that verse, really means that in modern terms, he appealed his sentence. In the term of, if any of you have ever had any experiences with law, it's considered like they're appealing his sentence. His sentence was being in the den of lions, but Darius is appealing it. because he knew that Daniel was a righteous man. But it was written in stone, so there was no occasion to appeal. So then the king commanded to, they brought Daniel and cast him in the den of lions. And the king spake unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So they brought a stone, put the stone, sealed it, and there was Daniel in a den of lions. Now, I don't know about you, but I would be scared. I'd be shaking, really. I'd be really shaking if that was me. But the king was displeased because he knew he had put a righteous man almost, you know, to death in the den of lions. So there was not music brought before him. He couldn't sleep. His conscience was riding him the whole night. So in the morning, early morning, he rose up and made haste to the den of lions. And he said he came to the den, verse 20, and cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And guess what? He was alive. He wasn't hurt. Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the mouths, the lion's mouth, that they hurt not me. So Daniel was not hurt because of his faith. And that's another exhortation for us. That's another message for us. If we have faith in God and do what God says and pray continually, then he will deliver us and he will be an aid and a guide to us. He says to Joshua, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Stray not from the left or the right of the law. And I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. And this is what he did to Daniel. Daniel prayed and he delivered Daniel from the mouth of the lions. Then the king was exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take up Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no man of hurt, not even a scratch. The lions didn't even scratch him. Why? Because God sent his angel, to shut the lion's mouth. And then the king commanded and brought these men, the same guys that accused Daniel of doing something that he was supposed to do, was doing something righteous, and the ones that caused the accusation on Daniel were themselves cast into the den of lions. And that's what's going to happen to those who don't follow the things of the truth. They be cast into utter darkness, into death. Them, their children, and their wives. Not just them, but their children and their wives. And this is an important lesson for us. That those who do wickedly against us, they will pay the price. Not for us to make the judgment. It's not our call. It's God's call. But they will be judged accordingly. And break in pieces all their bones in pieces, and forever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people and all the nations and languages that dwelt on the earth at that time, or, you know, for today as well, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, because God had revealed his power to Daniel, okay? God has revealed his message to Daniel, his power. He's the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. And there's another prophecy again. His kingdom shall not be destroyed, and shall be steadfast forever. And his dominion shall be even unto the end. And he delivered and rescued, and he worked signs and wonders in heaven and earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So Daniel prospered. And that's what's going to happen to us, young people. Brothers and sisters, the same thing. If we trust in God, we go to him in prayer and supplication, we lean upon the word of God, we shall prosper. During the reign of Darius, Daniel prospered. And the same thing will happen to us. Our faith asks God to to bring us to that point, though. We have to have the same faith that Daniel had. Because when his friends, when his fellow congressmen or the princes turned against him, he didn't turn back against them. He didn't take revenge. He didn't go after them, no. He went and he kneeled, prayed before God and gave him thanks. Okay? So that's the important lesson for us. But then there's another lesson. And the lesson is, when he was cast into the den of lions. And this is one of the lessons I want to bring to you, especially the young people. Turn with me, if you can, to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 And I'm going to ask one of the young gentlemen over there to read for me 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. What's your name again? What's your name? Matthew, can you read that for me, please? 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Can you stand up and read it for me, please? No, you can stay right there. Okay. Now sometimes in scriptures, sin or the devil, as we call sin in the flesh, they give it a persona, is personified. It's personified one time as a serpent, and then it's personified now as a roaring lion. So let's picture Daniel in a den of lions, but this time in a den of lions, sin in the flesh. Okay? We're in the same predicament right now. Okay? Brothers and sisters, young people, we're in the same predicament right now. Whenever we go out into the world, we go to work, we go to school, we're on den of lions. Okay? The lions are not necessarily roaring, literal lions. They're people or what we call friends or acquaintances who want us to do things that we shouldn't be doing. Hey man, let's go to the party over here. This guy is about a party at his house. Let's go watch this movie. Okay? Let's go do some drugs. Let's get high. Okay? These are the lines that are around us. And my exhortation to you and my message to you guys is this. The people beside you, look beside you, every one of the people beside you, they're in the same goal as you are. They want to obtain the kingdom, to be a part of God's kingdom. Cling to those people. You understand what I'm saying? You know those people, your friends beside you. Join a unit with them. Become close friends with them. Because if Christ delays his coming for another generation, you guys are going to be where we are, the older generation. Okay? And you guys are going to be the brothers and sisters, if Christ remains away long enough, that's going to be up here. Some of you guys are going to be up here doing what I'm doing. Some of you guys are going to be up here doing what Jim does. Okay? So, cleave together. Because the den of lions, the world around you, is like a den of lions. Your quote-unquote acquaintances that you have at school or work, like I said before, they want you to do things. They want you to go out, get high. They want you to go out and have a movie. They want you to go out and drink with them. They want you to be in the crowd. They want you to dress a certain way. That's like the den of lions coming after you, like it says in this verse that Matthew read for me. Be sober. Don't be drunken with the things of the world. Don't be intoxicated. Don't let the things of the world intoxicate you. That's what that means. Be strong-minded. Be vigilant. Open our eyes and see what's going on around you. Okay? Because your adversary, the devil, the sin in the flesh, the nature that we inherit is like a roaring lion walking about. He's trying to seek people to devour, to devour into the things of the world, carry away into the darkness of this age. So the people that you sit with, the people that you go to meetings with, cleave to them. Help one another. That's what this chapter is all about, 1 Peter. It's all about the elder helping the younger along that path that leads to eternal life, that leads to the kingdom. Each and every one of us in this room should help each other when a weak brother or a weak sister and a strong brother and a strong sister should help each other along that path. And once you start getting that unit together, that close in that unit together, and you look at Ross, or you look at Justin, or you look at Matthew, you look at Esther, or you look at any of you guys and look at each other, and you look to each other for strength, you build close friendship with people in the ecclesia, with young people in the ecclesia, and you attend youth meetings, you do the readings together, you do things together, you start finding that the world around you is a lot easier to deal with. Because when your friends, when your so-called friends from school or in your neighborhood come to you and say, "Hey, Johnny over here is having a party, let's go. Johnny's got some beer, let's go drink some beer." You'd be like, "That's not me. I don't need it. I'm going down here to Esther's house, we're going to do the readings. Care to join us?" So that's what you have to do. Form a unit among yourselves. Cleave to one another as you grow in the spirit of the truth. Cleave to each other. That the devil personified here as a roaring lion does not come about and devour you. Not literally devouring, but devouring you by taking you away from the things of the truth and bringing you into the darkness, into the ugliness of the world. There's nothing out there. Trust me, guys. I've been there. As they say in America, been there, done that, and bought the t-shirt. There's nothing out there. Because at the end of the day, you look at yourself and like, what is this all about? What is this all about getting drunk, going out drinking and playing with friends in the streets and stuff like that? What is this all worth? It's not worth anything. But when you have your friends in the truth, when you have your friends in the ecclesia, and you hang out together and you do things together, you find yourself that the outside world means nothing, absolutely nothing to you. You start finding yourself, you hang with your friends in the ecclesia, and in kids all over, you know, kids in various ecclesias throughout the world. We have one of the most valuable pieces of technology in our hands, the internet. Yes, it has its negatives, but it also has positives. One of the positives is Justin can email Esther, she can get a letter just like that. Back when I was growing up, 2 weeks before somebody get a letter from me. If I mail it today, it gets to them in 2 weeks. But you guys, use these tools. I beg of you, use these tools to develop close-knit friendships so that the lion of the world do not come about and devour you and take away what the pearl of great price that is set before you. That's why we're here, to feast on the pearl of great price. So my message is to you guys, be like Daniel. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Yahweh. Pray continually. Read continually. And far and foremost, develop a close-knit friendships with people in the ecclesia because you have the same goal as they do. And I hope to see you guys at another gathering. Okay?
All right. Thank Brother Bob for his words. In closing, we'll sing hymn 182, after which we'll call upon Brother Robert Bennett for closing prayer. The days are quickly flying, and Christ will come again, with all his saints attending, triumphant in his train. Hymn 182.